It's important, first of all, that you get your dwelling straightened out, that you know where you dwell and how it is that you are to dwell there, how it is that you're successful by dwelling there. We have the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32 that it has a great deal to do with that, because that's the song people sing, as it is written in Revelation 15, that overcome the Antichrist, his system, overcome all things. So needless to say, that song is very, very important. But there's one thing that sometimes we overlook. Moses wrote two other songs, and they are a witness to that song, a second witness, and you need to be armed with that. So we're going to start out real easy today, and we're going to cover those two songs. Some would differ with me that one of these was written by Moses, but I promise you, from the first song, Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32, there can be no doubt. Now let's talk about them again for a moment. The 90th Psalm starts what is a division by scholars, the book of Numbers, for the entire Pentateuch is in the Psalms if you know how to dig it out. The 90th Psalm begins that book of the Pentateuch, which is known to scholars as Numbers. Now, when was it written? It was written in the 38th year of the wandering in the wilderness. Now, what does that mean? That means that this psalm was written, or song, 2 years before the return of Christ, which is symbolized by the entering into the promised land. And that's what we learn for, is entering into the promised land, which is to say, the millennium, that millennium time period. Now, what must happen in that two-year period? Well, we know that the false Christ is going to appear. We know that a lot of work must be done in that two-year period for by God's servants themselves, preparing themselves and protecting themselves. And there's only one place, as the Bible teaches, that you're going to find that. And that's if you put your dwelling in God. That's the mansion that Christ spoke of in St. John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places, places of rest. You're not going to acquire any rest in that two-year period without being there. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived and have a great affair with Satan. That's not desirable if you have an interest in the eternity. Many of you are going to have loved ones that are going to fall into that trap. A seed planter, in many times, will avoid that and prevent it. But then we do have that millennium. So with that thought in mind, this psalm was written in the last 2 years of wandering in the wilderness, and it's information that is very necessary, so it's very possible. It's very possible that you could be in that two-year period right now. No one knows the date, the time, or the hour, but it is obvious from prophecy that it's certainly time that we re-up. Now, these are the only two psalms that Moses wrote out of the books. Well, there is a third that I would talk about. We'll get into that a little. I want you to turn to the 90th Psalm. God, let me lay just a little more groundwork. What had happened here? The children were disobedient. They refused to enter the promised land. So God sentenced death upon them, death in the flesh, that is. He's the judge of the soul. He said, you're not going to enter it. And actually, what prevented them from doing that? Really, Satan worship. Fear. Their ignorance of God's promise, hey, there's no giants out there for you. And there's not any for us today. We can do whatever we want to as long as we stay within the confines of this word, practicing wisdom and doing whatever we so choose. But you must do it with common sense. And you must do it with the knowledge and leadership of God, and foremost, you must be dwelling in Him. Okay, so, with that having been said, these poor souls, we're going to address them in the beginning, they're not going to make it out of the wilderness. You certainly want to see that you do not fall into that category. Okay, chapter 19, great psalm, and verse 1, let's read the heading, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Not too many people were ever called that by God. Man says we got a lot of men of God around here. Well, I question that. You know, you hear it on television all the time, the man of God is going to speak. Well, he's not talking God's word, so that makes you a little suspicious, doesn't it? Anyway, think for yourself. But Moses indeed was a man of God. And this one reads, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. That is to say, those that are men of God, women of God, children of God. He's always your dwelling place. That's why your lives are changed. That's why you find happiness. That's why you find and how you find success is to love Him. For to love Him is to dwell in Him and He in you. But this has been done through all generations. God doesn't play partial to this generation or that generation. Even this generation where a large part of them He has condemned, He's still there if they would take Him. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. We've only got one. Always has been, always will be, and that's why He calls Himself Yahweh in the Hebrew tongue, meaning I am that I am. I did it, and He created your soul because He loves you, loves all of His children. 3, Thou turnest man to be destruction, and saith, Return the children of men. In other words, the word destruction here, He brings about their death, which He's about to a large part of these, and they're going to return to what? Dirt, dust. That flesh body is going to die. God does that. That's part of living, is dying, so to speak. Verse 4, For 1,000 years is in thy sight, or but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. In other words, 1,000 years to God is nothing. Time doesn't mean anything to Him. And it's very difficult for we human beings, our souls dwelling in these flesh bodies, to understand, to apprehend, and to realize that we're in these flesh bodies a very short time. And it's not all that difficult then to gain a little more patience than you might have had without that knowledge. What it's saying is a day to Him is like a week. 1,000 years is like a week. It's like you're asleep and it's over with, done, and that's it. Verse 5, Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. It's like a dream. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. This is how it is. He's going to use an analogy of how you know grass springs up, it grows real good. What happens to it? 6, in the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening, it's cut down and withereth. And that's what our bodies do. But do you think you die? Of course not. You're with the Father. To be absent from this grass or dirt or earth or flesh, clay, is to be with the Lord. Verse 7, For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. We're silenced by it. Now, it's very important that you learn the things that make your Father angry. It really is. His wrath is awesome. It will silence you. What does that mean? It stops you from thinking as a man might think of world and being successful, or I might say like the ones that designed and engineered the great Tower of Babel. Well, I don't care how high you build it, Babel is still Babel, okay? And Babylon is still Babylon, and nonsense is still nonsense. I don't care how big a name you want to give it or anything else, But God's wrath will certainly silence it, and that's what he would do to this generation that disobeyed him in the beginning of a 40-year period. What does 40 mean in numerics? Probation. You're on probation. You're here to make a choice for yourself. And there's a great deal depends on it, for it is the eternity. But you always have, and Moses stresses so kindly, you can come in out of the rain. You can come in out of the heat. You can come into the house of God. You can dwell with him. Verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. And that might frighten some, but hey, when you repent, that also brings forgiveness. There's nothing secret to him. And you can't stress that too much. Nothing is secret to him. There's no unsolved mysteries, no unsolved murders. He knows. It's in the book. It's already written at the main judge's court. And it will be handled there. And all your little secret sins. That's why you want to be sure and repent of them so they're erased, forgotten, and blown away as the grass. Done. Finished. Did it stink? 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend all our years as a tale that is told. In other words, all of our years, when it's said and done, can flash before your mind in an instant. It's what it's saying in the Hebrew is just a thought of mind that seems to go that quick when it's over. Because compared to 1,000 years with God, 70 or 80 years are just a flash in the pan, nothing to it. And really, if you ever find yourself a little short on patience and you're one of these now God people, think, mature. Verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and in their strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. What? By the way, what? The soul returns to the Father. This has to do with those that are going to die in that wilderness. In other words, it's saying the whole generation that refused to enter the promised land are going to be considered as spiritually dead. You find no difference in that, in those that do not overcome in this earth age now. Those that whore after the Antichrist are of the same elk and lot of those that whored in the wilderness after golden calves and stuff, such. So, we're given a perfect analogy and example in the writings of Moses that warn you, prepare you, whereby you cinch up your old girt and get ready to ride, a good easy ride, quite frankly, if you're loaded with, if you got your pistol cocked with real ammo from God's Word, whereby you know how to defend yourself spiritually. But most of all, there is no way on earth that you can dwell in his house and be biblically illiterate. You have to know the truth, and what does it do? It sets you free. So don't play games with God. You can't say, I'll be a Christian, you know. I don't know nothing about the Bible, and I hardly know God, but I am a Christian. Well, I doubt it. You're just mouthing words, words, words. God likes to see a little action, action, action. He demands it. If you want his blessings, and if you don't want to die in the wilderness, it's up to you. But each one of us have that choice. I suppose it really should help one to know that however many troubles you have, when it's all said and done, if you're dwelling in the Lord's house, it's going to be like a bad dream or a good dream when you wake up, and that's it. You have the power and the authority to see that that's the way it goes in your favor, because God doesn't miss anything. It's in the book. It's written. That's why, again, with repentance, it's erased, blotted out. It never existed. It never happened. That's a gift to you. Don't be ashamed to exercise it, because you don't have any secrets. You may think you do, but you don't have any secrets with God. Erase them. He loves you enough that he will do that. Verse 11, who knows the power of thy anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Well, I'd rather translate it like those that fear thee and fear thy wrath, or should fear thy wrath. This fear here is one that is certainly in ignorance. See that you're not. The truth sets you free. It's that simple. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You number your days, and in your life, you seek out that wisdom. You search it out. And you know what? Your days will be happier. Your family will be happier. For you will have the clarity and the understanding of following God's will and way. Why? The title of this lecture, You're Dwelling with Him. I got news for you. He takes care of his household. Don't mess with his people. He doesn't like it. And if you want to see his wrath flare up, you let somebody do something nasty to one of his people, and God will turn that around to where it is a fantastic blessing in your life. That happened in this particular church. Somebody wrote some very bad things about it. God turned it around, and I don't know how many new members. We just bang, 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 just went off the scale. No. Because people knew they were lying, okay? Because we deal in truth. Our character is above reproach. Because why? We dwell as best we can in our Father's house. So God doesn't allow people to hanky with his elect, all right, his anointed. It just works that way. He's always true to his word. 12. So teach us to... We got that. Okay. 13. Return, O Lord. How long? Question. And let it repent thee concerning thy servant. And it does. He arranged that at the cross. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. Mercy is love. Unmerited favor. He loves you on repentance, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now, when you understand the truth, you're going to have a few problems, but I'm going to tell you something. God has the power and the authority that he could make your life kind of boring by never allowing anything to happen in it where you could do any work for him at all. But every time a little trouble comes along, that's your test bed. That says, fix it. Deal with it. God saying, let me see what you got. I want to know if I can count on you when the going gets rough in the two-year period. Can I count on you? Or then, unfortunately, we got wimps. You know? Oh, God always picks on me. It's not God that's picking on them. They're picking on themselves by not being intelligent enough to hunt out the wisdom to be in God's house so no one can touch them unless they want to get hurt. That's the way it goes, and that's the way God plans. I'm speaking in a spiritual way. In true life, we use all common sense to see that with the wisdom that God gives us to maintain that parameter. He's already forgiven you if you'll participate. That's what it's saying. He already loves you if you will participate. He will make your days glad if you're in him. And you know something? I've never helped anyone in my life where it was successful that the trouble wasn't well worth the effort to put forth to fix it. You grow probably more than the person you fixed. Verse 15. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. 40 years in the wilderness is what Moses has reference to. And they're back into the promised land. 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish thou the work of our hands unto us, yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Did it say establish the salvation of our hands? Did it say establish my life in luxury? No, it said your work. Well, I don't have any work. Well, get on out. You don't, what are you trying to collect a paycheck when you've done nothing? Forget it. You know, only a fool would do that. I always emphasize the word work so that people understand there is a condition to dwelling with God. You don't work, you don't eat there. You don't work, you don't even belong there. And it is for such a long period of time that you're working for. It's forever. Or we're going to clip them down like mowing grass and blot it out. But the choice is up to each individual. But I relish that song, that psalm, one of the first written by Moses. And it is so, it covers such a large span of time, even before the earth was formed, even before the first earth age, to broaden your mind to understand, then how long could 2 years be? Like a wink. How long would it be when the false Messiah appeared? Like a wink. We can do it. We can cut it. Why? Because we dwell in the house of God. It is His promise. And He's looking for those mighty spiritual warriors that won't faint at the first sight of spiritual blood and have to be carried off as a wounded. He's looking for warriors, spiritually speaking, that in a 2-year period can get it done. He wants them riding the mower, not being under it. The way it goes. Or if you just got one of them old-timey ones, you know, mow. He wants to see the results of your work with what you have to work with. I think it's a beautiful psalm. So simple, and yet it was written for this hour. It was written for you. Now, many scholars say Moses didn't write Psalms 91. It's not labeled. But the funny part about it is if you take Deuteronomy 32 and go through verses 1 through 14, it's the same thing. Well, now, as a student of the Word, I know Moses wrote it. I don't have any doubt about it. Naturally, why? Because God is the author, but it has Moses' hand. Now, because Moses wrote this 91st Psalm, it means that every temptation in Matthew 4, this is important, listen to me. Every temptation that Satan put before Christ in the wilderness. You got the connection, wilderness? We're in it, friend. And we're going through. Okay. But every temptation that Satan challenged Jesus with in the wilderness was written by Moses from Almighty God. Every charge came forth from the pen of Moses. Could that be why that Satan argued with Michael for where Moses' body was? He wanted to desecrate it because he couldn't stand Moses. Why? Because Moses was a man of God. But I hope that you can put the connecting factor, the fact that Jesus went into the wilderness to show us how to do it. Hey. He said, I'll even do better than you. While you all were in the wilderness 40 days, 40 years rather, I fed you. You had manna. You had quail. It was like downtown. You had the best. He went out and had nothing for 40 days. And he overcame, showing us how to get it done. Showing us how to be his servant. He did it, and he put Satan down, and much of it is recorded in this very chapter. And this 91 is a witness to the original Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. Let's do it, okay? Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now concentrate on that. Meditate on it. Chew your old cud on that one. It said, if you dwell in the secret place, not everybody gets into the secret place. Well, how do I get there? Study His Word tells you how to do it. Okay? That's why the rest of them were lost in the wilderness. They didn't know the secret of truth. And there is no secret to truth if you'll absorb it. But you must work at it. You must do it. And I find a great comfort in my heart by knowing that God does have that secret place whereby you can dwell. Secret to those that are evil. Secret to those that would like to hurt you. Because if they try to reach into that secret place of God, they're going to get bit. God will correct them because you can be at ease there. You can be at peace. If there's going to be danger down the road, God's going to let you know about it. You're going to see it because you're dwelling in that secret place. Let's get on with it. What are some of the necessities of enjoying that perfect place? Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Well, there's that little word that some people have a lot of trouble with is trust. I don't trust nobody. Well, you poor soul. You know, there's got to be somebody you can trust. Let me ask you this. Can you trust yourself then? You know? Well, sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. Then you need to get into the Word and build up on that trust. Trust is akin to faith. It's kind of the oil that makes faith slide along so easy is trust. It really does. It helps you out a bunch. And trust Him. He said it. You read it right there in verse 1. Do you believe it or not? Do you trust it? I do. I've experienced it, and so have you. God takes care of His own. Trust Him. 3. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It doesn't matter what is poured out in the vials of the book of Revelation. It doesn't matter. Or any kind of pestilence that comes on the world. It's just, well, look at all these pestilence we've got in the world today. And AIDS and all that kind of stuff. Well, no, just behave yourself. You don't have to worry about AIDS. Think ahead. There's not even nothing that frightens you. Not at all. Okay, I just use that as a little example. There's nothing coming that Satan's going to dish out in that five-month period of the 2 years that can bother you at all. Let Him tempt. He tempted Christ. Christ showed you how to beat his game. All right? Verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler.